from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And you can get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded. Coming up on today's show, we are going to discuss the weekend bludgeoning by the Arizona Diamondbacks over the San Francisco Giants, the Giants being outscored 34-8 in the three-game sweep. The Giants went 1-6 on this homestand that I said was extremely important if they had any designs of winning. So we're going to talk kind of about the game notes and more about some of the moves that got made. Mack Williamson DFA'd, Mike Yastrzemski called up, eventful day on Sunday. Trevor got to the IL, lots of moves happening, and we're also going to step back and take a look at what's going on presently with the San Francisco Giants and how it affects the present and the future for the organization. But first, we'll talk about their record. With the three losses over the weekend, the Giants fell to 21-31. That's 13.5 games back in the National League West, so I'm almost ready to declare the division unreachable for the San Francisco Giants. They have a minus 78 run differential, which is the second worst in the National League still. The Marlins continue to have a worse run differential, and that's where the Giants are going next. So it'll be interesting to see. Something's got to give in this series between the two worst teams in the National League. The Giants' minus 78 run differential has an expected win-loss record of 18-34, so they're outperforming it by 3 wins now. So as bad as they've been, they should be significantly worse according to this run differential. So there's a lot to talk about, and none of it's particularly good for the San Francisco Giants, so we won't dwell on anything too long. But if we're talking about the game notes, on Friday, the Giants lost 18-2. This was a Drew Pomeranz start. It did not go well at all. He had 6 strikeouts in 2 2/3, but he allowed 5 earned runs. Tyler Austin hit another home run against a lefty in the first inning, which actually gave the Giants a lead. It was a tape measure shot off of Robbie Ray, so he just continues to be a bright spot for the Giants, and they deserve credit for bringing him in, and it is valuable to have a guy who's good at something. People want to say, oh, well, it's not good because he's limited. He doesn't hit righties well, and I don't know about his first base defense. He's taking ground balls at third. He's doing some work in left field. I think the jury's still out on how he can contribute defensively, but the bat has absolutely been there against lefties, so credit where credit is due. Trevor Gott struggled a little bit in this game in a mop-up role, which was a little weird to see him in that role, given how well he's pitched. He ended up going on the IL the next day with Derek Rodriguez recalled, who's gonna throw out of the bullpen. Nick Vincent got blown up in this game, and Steven Duggar made an incredible catch coming in and to his right. It was like one of the better center field catches of the year that I've seen, a very high level of difficulty. So he continues to look amazing out there. On Saturday, the big news was that Mack Williamson was designated for assignment. So they gave him another game after that 0-for-5 with 5 strikeout performance. And he went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts on Friday. So he, 9 at-bats, 8 strikeouts. It just was not working for Mack Williamson. And my point there is that there's an interesting dynamic here where a lot of Giants fans really, really wanted to see Mack Williamson and wanted to see him succeed, and I understand that. But, for example, someone like Connor Joe had equally impressive minor league numbers, and so when the fans are up in arms about Connor Joe being out there on opening day, but then really wanting to see Mack Williamson, I don't quite understand that. And then you look at Mike Yastrzemski, who got called up, also having tremendous numbers in the minors, but I think there's a little bit even more intrigue with a guy like Connor Joe or Mike Yastrzemski than Mack Williamson. Williamson always really struggled to not hit the ball on the ground, and it just continued here with the Giants in this brief major league stint here when they were giving him a chance to seize an everyday role. He just could not stop hitting the ball on the ground, chasing pitches and striking out. So that's like the trifecta of getting DFA'd, and that's what happened. But there's just clearly a bias when we're thinking that having Mack Williamson and Austin Slater out there on opening day would have been a great outcome, but Connor Joe and Michael Reed was an awful outcome. That doesn't make any sense at all. There's no reason that Williamson and Slater are like better prospects than Joe and Reed. In fact, you could make the counter argument that most teams would have preferred Connor Joe and Michael Reed over Mack Williamson and Austin Slater. So the fact is, Mike Yastrzemski got called up essentially to replace Mack Williamson, and it makes more logical sense given that Yastrzemski is left-handed and he could potentially platoon with Tyler Austin in left field if they're willing and able to give Tyler Austin those at-bats. I like the swing of Yastrzemski. He does not struggle to hit the ball in the air. If you look at his minor league numbers, he consistently elevates the ball, does not hit too many grounders like Williamson did. You know, having a tremendous minor league season, but the AAA landscape is crazy right now, where the hitters are just absolutely dominating the pitchers. So you kind of, and that league was already very offensive friendly, so you take those numbers with a huge grain of salt. But I like the kind of across the board skill set of Yastrzemski over what I see from Mack. We'll get more into his performance in some games a little bit later. The Giants lost this Saturday game 10-4. It was an Andrew Suarez start, and he gave up 9 runs, 7 earned in 4 innings pitched. Only 2 strikeouts. This was Yastrzemski's debut, and he went 0-for-3 with 2 Ks. On Sunday, the Giants lost 6-2. They gave up 5 runs in the first 2 innings. What else is new? It's probably time for them to start using openers again. They tried it once, and you know, they just continue to give up runs in the first inning or the first couple of innings. This was a Sean Anderson start, and he gave up 6 runs, 4 earned in 5 innings, including a homer, only had 1 strikeout, 9 hits allowed. So he wasn't sharp. None of the pitching was sharp at all in this series, and really now for the season. We're going to talk about that more in the second half. Sam Coonrod was called up prior to the game. Andy Suarez was optioned back to the minors. Coonrod debuted, major league debut in this game, through a scoreless inning with 1 strikeout. He had impressive stuff. He was throwing 98, so we'll see if he can stick around in the bullpen. Remember to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can find us on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya. With their personally curated playlists and new features every day, download Himalaya on your app store and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to continue to walk through the game notes from Sunday's loss to the Diamondbacks, and we're going to take a broader look at the season as a whole and some alarming numbers for the Giants. And also just kind of walking us through some of the expectations and why that this really shouldn't be that surprising of a start for the San Francisco Giants. The fact that they're not doing very well, and again, reiterating the point that there's been some delusional thinking in terms of what to expect from this group. So that's all coming up next. But first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product, and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so as promised, we'll run through the last of the game notes from Sunday and talk about some bigger picture items. The Giants lost 6-2 on Sunday, completed the sweep, completed the 1-6 homestand. Very bad. Ketel Marte hit a home run to deep right center field in the first inning. Opponents are kind of making AT&T or Oracle look small, but the Giants are not. So they seem very incompetent compared to the rest of the league, pretty much in all facets right now. There was an ugly sequence in the top of the second where there was a single up the middle with a runner on first. Jerod Dyson advanced to third on the single. Steven Duggar threw to third. By throwing to third, the batter advanced to second, where Evan Longoria threw the ball, and the ball got away from Joe Panic, trickled into the outfield. Jerod Dyson trotted home to score. And then there was a throw from the outfield to third base to get the batter runner who was advancing to third, and then that ball got away. Thankfully, the pitcher was backing up the play, so the runner didn't come in to score, but it was just very ugly, and it was more of the same from the Giants in this series, just getting absolutely destroyed. And so the fans rained down the boos on that play. And it's very much well deserved. I mean, that they are playing some terrible baseball right now, and boos for the Giants by the home crowd in the second inning on Sunday. The highlight of this game was Mike Yastrzemski. He got his first hit early in the game, and it was a bloop hit to left, and he got thrown out venturing too far off of first base. They threw behind him, trying to get back to first, and he was nailed. So even when they got a hit and a good moment, first major league hit for a young rookie, although he is almost 29 years old, it should be noted, they still made an out on the bases. So more of the same from the Giants there. Later in the game, he had another hit, this time a line drive, or it was a soft line drive to left field. And then later in the game, still Yastrzemski hit a bullet line drive down the left field line for a double. And that one came against a left-handed pitcher. So a very good game for Mike Yastrzemski. And it was cool to see. And it's a boost of energy to see some new faces and to see them do well, granted in a one-game situation. So we can't read too much into it, as always. But it's exactly what the Giants need, is just to continue to audition different players to try to find someone who sticks. And anyone who says otherwise doesn't really understand their present situation and how they need to proceed into the future. If they would have signed Adam Jones and Freddie Galvis and plug and play with any old veteran you might want to, and then committed to them for the entire season without giving any young guys an audition here, it would have been a lost season, because at 21-31 and outperforming their run differential by 3 wins, a couple of veterans are not saving the 2019 San Francisco Giants. So it's delusional to say that, oh, if they only had Adam Jones in right field and Freddie Galvis as a backup shortstop, oh, they would have been contending for the division crown. That's absolutely insane and not true. Even if they had Bryce Harper, Adam Jones, Dallas Keuchel, and Craig Kimbrell, they still wouldn't be close to good enough. A lot of why they're doing terribly has to do with the core offensive players, position players, and even pitchers massively underperforming. Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, Brandon Belt, Joe Panic, Evan Longoria, pretty much the whole infield is not really performing up to expectations. Belt and Panic have been fine lately, but Posey, Crawford, Longoria, like, those guys are doing pretty much nothing, and that's a huge reason why they are where they are. Steven Duggar, also very good defensively, but not really hitting at all. Will Smith had another dominant inning in the ninth. He was one pitch away from an immaculate inning, but he ended up giving a single but striking out 3 in the inning. So he's just been excellent and one of the best relievers in baseball, and I continue to say he's going to be in very high demand in the upcoming months as the trade deadline approaches. We're also 1 week from the MLB draft, so we are going to talk more and more about that as that date comes up. But so anyway, the big picture things to say were what I just said about how they need to run through new guys and give auditions to different players, because that is what this is all about. It was always delusional to expect the Giants to do well in 2019. It was delusional last year with McCutchen and Longoria. I'm kind of getting convinced that that whole thing was about selling hope to the fan base as opposed to really expecting them to contend. All of the projections had the Giants as a 90-plus loss team this year, and that seems to be the road they're headed down. And it has nothing to do with Farhan Zaidi. Like, I just don't want to hear that at all. It's like the Orioles are one of the worst teams in MLB too, and do you blame that on their new general manager, Mike Elias? No, of course not. They were terrible before he came in, and they're terrible now. You don't transform a terrible team into a contender overnight. It's just absolutely crazy. But the main ugly thing to mention here is that the Giants starting pitching now ranks last in MLB, even behind the Orioles, who are giving up like 2.5 home runs per nine innings. The Giants, you know, in terms of Fangraphs WAR, have a worse Fangraphs WAR than the Orioles at -0.6. So that is not good. And part of that WAR calculation is based on fielding independent pitching. So someone like Samardzija, with his good ERA, but his awful fielding independent pitching, is dragging that down significantly because, you know, it doesn't believe the ERA, essentially, and neither do I. But I think that is a real surprise. A lot of people at the beginning of the year were talking about how the Giants had great pitching and defense. Yes, the defense was really good, but the whole great pitching thing, I said all along that their starting rotation was average at best, and so far we're kind of seeing the worst case scenario. So it's part of that delusion about the Giants always have good pitching because of their ballpark. No, they never. Their starting rotation was a massive question mark, and it is proving to be a serious issue in 2019. But it is good that they're giving young guys a look in Sean Anderson and Andy Suarez, trying out openers. I think they should continue to kind of run through exactly what they're doing to try to find guys who can stick in that rotation, because right now, whatever they're trying is not working. But again, you don't blame it on the new president of baseball operations. You can't just fill out an entire good starting rotation in free agency, nor should you, because those guys are all going to be on the wrong side of 30. And if they're good enough, you're going to have to sign them to some massive extension. And then you're just continuing that cycle of paying huge money to guys into their decline years. This is a situation that needs years to be remedied. And you have to have young guys come up. You have to draft well. You have to trade your veterans for talented young players who can come up and contribute in their prime years. This isn't like a throw Dallas Keuchel at your team and hope that you're able to somehow manage to be a 500 team. So anyway, that was a lot to talk about. Just kind of a big picture, take a step back. I said that homestand was really important if they had any designs of contending. And so I'll just follow that up and say they blew it and their season is very much on the ropes right now. If they can't have a good road trip through Miami and Baltimore plus the New York Mets, they should just drop that, and they're pretty much done at this point in the season. But it will be worth continuing to listen to this show, because it is going to get exciting with the draft upcoming in a week's time and the trading deadline. I think it's clear they're going to be sellers at this point, so anyone they can unload and get some kind of return for, that's probably going to be totally on the table. So that'll be very important and interesting to watch moving forward. Remember to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. This is a daily show with new episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to listen and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.